Welcome to Crossroads, the broadcast ministry of Montgomery's First Baptist Church, where you can discover God's personal plan and power to conquer your problems through Jesus Christ. Join us now as God's Word heals, encourages, and enlightens your spiritual life.
Right there. Would you come with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 12? We'll begin here in verse 7 in a moment. And it may help you to find this piece of paper that I've entitled, Like Paul, Our Hero. Like Paul, use your gifts to build God's kingdom. That's what it's all about. And maybe the Lord, all my prayer is He will speak to your heart and you'll hear His voice and capture what He tells you on this day. Now, I've been a pastor for a long time and I've observed this problem. I've observed that there are too many people who claim to be followers of Christ, yet they seem to be unhappy. They're spiritually unproductive. They're unfulfilled. And I think it links back to this fundamental issue. And the fundamental issue is that they are passive spectators instead of passionate participators in the kingdom of God. They are not serving. Instead of serving, they're sitting, soaking, and souring. Instead of working, they're watching. You see, that will always lead to this sense of unfulfillment, unhappiness, and spiritual discord. I see people whose faith is about as dynamic as a flat tire. And there's just a better way, because not only does that make you unhappy and unfulfilled, but you're essentially diminishing, even crippling, the work of the body of Christ. And Paul will say later in this chapter that we're designed to be parts of the body. And if parts of the body are not working, then that diminishes what the body can do. My precious daughter-in-law, Catherine, had a horrible stroke. And you know what a stroke is? That's when part of your body goes on strike and it no longer functions. But if you're called to be a hand in the body of Christ, a mouthpiece, a caring heart, a foot, and you're not doing your part, do you know what the result is? You see, you've diminished the work of the body of Christ. So this message is ultra important. And I want to provide you not just with a problem, but the solution. Here's the solution. It's discovering your spiritual gifts and your calling to serve. Because when you make that discovery, my friend, do you know what happens? Your Christian life will explode into joy when you discover your treasure. And I'm telling you, you have a treasure. And when you not only discover that treasure, but when you put it to work in serving God's purpose by loving God's people, it will give you this revolutionary renaissance of your spiritual life, vigor and vitality. I discovered this when I was a young person. When I was 16 years old, I'd fallen in love with Jesus when I was about 13, and I started to read God's Word. I saw that the Lord wants us to be like Jesus and serve, and our church was a small church, the First Baptist Church of Georgetown, Texas. And the call went out, who can help teach little boys missions in a program called RAs, Royal Ambassadors? Well, nobody would come forth. Well, I thought to myself, I'm 16, and I got a driver's license and I got a car. You know what my car was? My dad paid $100 for a 57 Chevrolet pick-em-up truck. Had three on the tree, and a chick magnet it was not, I can assure you. But I was, like Southwest Airlines, free to roam about the country. I had some wheels. And so I said, I can drive myself to church. And I started at age 16 teaching those young RAs. And do you know who got the biggest blessing out of it? I can assure you it wasn't those kids, it was me. Because God, as I served, put me in a mode to learn and to grow and to emulate His heart for serving. Now, let me suggest something to you. I believe that you need to discover your treasure, because there is buried treasure all around. I believe that the greatest area of buried treasure is not in the diamond mines of South Africa. It's not in the oil fields of South Texas. It's in the cemeteries of the world. Because there are so many people who never get before the Lord and discover their treasure. They never discover their gifts. They never employ them to serve. And so buried in the cemeteries of Montgomery and the world, there are talents and treasures that were never unearthed, they were never utilized. Ministries that were never shared, witnesses that were never shared, books that were never written, cures that were never given to the world because people didn't take time to discover the treasure in them and use that gift to serve the purpose of God by loving His people. I don't want us to be in that category. I don't want you to be in that category. So here's my job. It's to help you discover your God-given gifts. Discover them, develop them, and deploy them. It's called 3D living. Well, let's look at this panorama of spiritual gifts that Paul gives us in 1 Corinthians 12, beginning in verse 7. But to each one is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. To one is given the word of wisdom through the Spirit. To another, the word of knowledge according to the same Spirit. To another, faith by the same Spirit. To another, gifts of healing by the Spirit. To another, the effecting of miracles. To another, prophecy. To another, the distinguishing of spirits. To another, various kinds of tongues. And to another, interpretation of tongues. But one and the same Spirit works all these things, distributing to each one individually just as He wills. For even as the body, the human body, is one, yet has many members, and all the members of the body, though they are many, they are one body. So it is with Christ. Let's pray. Father, oh Father, please, please get me out of the way that Your Spirit could take over this service and transform this sanctuary into a seminary. Teach us about these treasures You've placed within us so that they can be used to accomplish Your purpose of building Your kingdom through loving Your people. Lord, we promise right now to be at full attention and listen for Your voice that changes our life. We pray for this now in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, let's discover four features of your God-given gifts. And number one is a distinction of gifts. A distinction of gifts. And let me break it down into three parts, because we learn right here in Acts chapter 2, verse 38, about the gift of the Holy Spirit. Number one, you see there's the gift of the Holy Spirit. When Peter was preaching at Pentecost, there were thousands of people there, and some people cried out, and they said, "We want Jesus. What do we have to do?" And listen to Peter's answer. He said, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit." You see, we receive the gift of forgiveness. We have a new standing with God when we commit our life to Jesus Christ. We're robed in His righteousness. He doesn't see our sin. He sees the righteousness of Jesus. So our sins are forgiven. We are placed in His family forever, and no one can take us out. And then this is amazing. Not only do we get these gifts, but the Scripture says that Jesus, speaking in John 14, His very presence inhabits our lives. Jesus said, "I will not leave you as orphans, but I will send you My Spirit, which is the Spirit of truth, and My Spirit will never leave you." So we get the gift of the Spirit, and it becomes our power source. Remember in Acts chapter 1, verse 8, Jesus coached His disciples, and that last word, He said, "And you will receive power," when? When My Spirit comes upon you. So we don't have to live defeated lives, unproductive lives, unfulfilled lives. We're not victims. We're God's victors because He gives us power. So that is the gift of the Spirit. Now, the second distinction is the fruits of the Spirit. Look on your worksheet again at Galatians chapter 5, the fruits of the Spirit. This basically reproduces the personality of Jesus, the fruits of the Spirit. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Those are the nine fruits of the Spirit, and they essentially capture the personality of Jesus. Now, in John 15:5, Jesus said, "I am the vine, you are the branch. If you abide in me, if you connect to me, what's the result? You will produce much fruit. And that fruit would be the character of Christ. You see, there's an exchange, this transformation, and the character of Jesus starts to reshape your attitudes, your actions, your beliefs, your behaviors. This is the core of Christianity. And all of a sudden, these fruits of the Spirit start to emerge on the limbs of your life, and you're a different person. You see, Jesus said in Matthew 7, verse 20, you will know a tree by its what? Its fruits. And you'll know a person, and if they are honestly, validly connected to Christ, by the fruit of their character, their attitudes, their actions. You see, the ultimate test of your being connected to Jesus is not do you shout in worship, but after church, do you go home and shout at your family? Or even a better test is if you're traveling home and you have a flat tire, what kind of tongue do you speak in then? Oh, my friend, you see, the goal of God is for you to produce the fruits of the Spirit. These are even more important than the gifts of the Spirit that we're heading to. But I want you to produce the fruits of the Spirit. Now, let me ask you this. Has anybody come up to you lately and said, you sure do remind me of Jesus? You know, just your countenance, the way you talk, the way you react to difficulties. You sure do remind me of Jesus. Has anybody told you that lately? If not, that's somewhat of an indictment. Because what do the fruits of the Spirit do? They help us reproduce the very character of Jesus. Now, can you imagine if that was happening in every home linked to this church, every Christian home, husbands and wives related to each other with love, joy, and peace? Can you imagine what kind of harmonious homes we would have? I'm so blessed. That's how it is in my home. My wife, Mary Ruth, exudes, she flows the fruit of the Spirit. She's a person of love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, and self-control. And I try to do the same. So you see, that's the key to harmony in a home, releasing the fruit of the Spirit and living the personality of Jesus. But there's one more distinction, and that is the gifts of the Spirit, the gifts of the Spirit. You see, the fruits reproduce the personality of Jesus, but the gifts of the Spirit reproduce the ministry of Jesus. And the ministry of Jesus is all about building the kingdom of God by loving his people. So let's now look at the definition. Number two, definition of gifts, definition of gifts. Now, I've given you a definition written down so you can't miss it. A definition of a spiritual gift is a special endowment from God to enable his children to serve his purposes by helping his work. His work is loving people, sharing his light with people in the darkness. Now we go to 1 Peter 4, verse 10, to understand that each one should use whatever gift he has received. So we've all received a gift to do what? To serve others, faithfully administering God's grace in its various forms. So mark it down. God gave you a special gift. Maybe it's linked to a natural ability. Maybe you're good with children, or you can teach, or you're a great administrator. Maybe you're a salesperson and you're great at connecting to people and selling stuff. Those can be natural abilities that become spiritual gifts. If you can sell stuff, you can also do evangelism. You see, I do a lot of sharing of my faith because, you know, there's just kind of a natural salesman in me. That's part of who I am. So I want you to understand you can take a natural ability and use it as a spiritual gift to build the kingdom of God. But let me shift the gear to this analogy. You are a member of God's team. That's what it says here. You are to serve God's purpose and build his kingdom. Let me create a fun analogy. Let's imagine that you are a basketball player. Now, I've got to confess, this was always my goal in high school, is to be a great basketball player. And I was a great basketball player, except I couldn't run, I couldn't jump, and I couldn't shoot. But besides those minor details, I was pathetic. But anyway, I wanted to be good. And I had a fantasy, like every basketball player has, to be on the line to win the game. Have you ever had a fantasy like that for your sport? Okay, imagine this. All right, let's just imagine that you discovered your gift And your gift is you have the right height, you're fast, you've got good hand-eye coordination, you've got determination, you're healthy. And so you're on the college basketball team. And your team has gone all the way to the NCAA finals. And imagine, it's in the last 3 seconds of the game. You're behind 74-76. And as they throw the ball in with 3 seconds to go, you elude your defender. You turn, grab the ball. You're behind the three-point arc. You lock, you launch, and there it goes. You drain it. The three-pointer, you win the game. Oh, how would you feel? Oh, you'd feel pretty fabulous, wouldn't you? Because all of that practice, all of that hard work had now been translated into winning the game for the team. You see, I want you to understand that is how God wants you to operate. He wants you to use your gifts to win for His team. You see, that's the purpose of your gift. Your gift is this tool, and if you will use it, I can guarantee you, you'll find victory. Victory for the kingdom and victory and fulfillment for your personal life. That's why it says in 1 Corinthians 15, verse 57, thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. Why? Because in the Lord, your labor will never be in vain. All right, that's the definition of the gifts. Now let's go to the distribution of the gifts. The distribution of the gifts. You see, God, again, is the head coach, and He distributes the gifts to different people so that the team can have unity in its diversity. All right, we look at Ephesians 4, verse 11 and 12 on your worksheet. And God gave to some to be apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers. Why? To prepare God's people for works of service so that the body of Christ may be built up. You see, God is in the business of building His team, building His kingdom, building His body. Now, some of you are hearing this and saying, you know, that sounds okay for you and for the people sitting beside me, but, oh, Jay, you don't know the cards I've been dealt. You're protesting right now. Jay, you don't know the things I've gone through. You know, I live in No Talentville. Okay, I can't even lead in silent prayer during Sunday school. Now, I would lovingly, respectfully suggest that if you have the poor notion that you have no talents, that you are insulting the Lord who gave you these talents, and frankly, you're crafting an excuse for why you can spectate instead of participate. Now, some of you are saying, but you don't understand my past. You don't understand the mistakes I've made, the hurts I've suffered. I'm not worthy. I'm not qualified. Oh, time out. Oh, please, my friend, let me give you the ultimate self-esteem booster. And here is this great truth, that God has given you these special gifts so that you can have the joy and the fulfillment of being on His winning team. There's a call in the scripture to discover your spiritual gift. And in making that discovery, you're going to find immense joy and fulfillment. There's a thought here that comes to my mind about people who give gifts, and those gifts are either unwrapped or unused. Let me create this analogy. Let me imagine this, that you are in the flip phone era, and somebody who loves you, maybe your rich uncle, says, you know, you don't need a flip phone. Let me get you one of those new iPhone 10s. I mean, those things can revolutionize your life. And imagine that they go and buy you a $1,200 mega iPhone 10. And they pay all the fees, and they bring it to you, and it's all gift wrapped, and they give it to you. Now, what if you took that gift and said, oh, thanks, I'll get around to it later, and you never open it? That would be an insult to the giver, and it would be a detriment to the receiver if you never open that gift. You see, God has done that for you. He has given you gifts and talents and abilities. He's given you treasures designed to make you productive and fulfilled in the kingdom. And for you not to discover them is a tragedy and a travesty. It will hurt you, it insults the Lord, and it damages the body of Christ. So it's incumbent upon you to discover your gifts. Now, here's what I want us to do lastly. This is so important. I want you to deploy those gifts. After you discover them, and you discover them by going to the Scripture, study 1 Corinthians 12, Romans 12, Ephesians 4. We've touched on all of these Scriptures. Study them. And then overlay your natural talents and ability and begin this process of deploying your gifts. Why? Because that's what Jesus did. The Scripture said Jesus in Mark 10:45 did not come to be served, but to serve and to give His life as a ransom for many. And do it now. Why do it now? Because it says in James 1:22, be a doer of the word and not a hearer only who simply deceives yourself. Do it now. Now, let me suggest that it works like this. Just jump into it. Just jump into it. Just do it. Let me give you some suggestions linked to this church. One of the unique things about First Baptist Montgomery, one of the reasons we're 189 years old is because we invite people to be doers of the Word of God, not just hearers who deceive themselves. But let me give you an example. You just heard our fabulous music ministry. We've got about 200 people in the sanctuary choir. We've got about 200 people in our youth choir. We have an orchestra up here. I talked to a lady the other day, and she said, Jay, I was a music major in college, but I got to admit, I've got an instrument that I'm pretty good at, but it's got rust on it. I said, break it out. Oh, my sister, break it out. And to experience the joy and the fulfillment of being part of the team and being a lead worshiper, she said, I'm going to do it. Some of you have gifts for communication and teaching. We're inviting people to teach. I remember Bobo Gilpin, one of my favorite lawyers. About 20 years ago, Doris Collins went to Bobo and said, hey, Bobo, we need more men teaching in the preschool area. Would you consider it? Now, Bobo is a high-powered lawyer, and that didn't necessarily look like his forte, but he said, I'll pray about it. And just at the last minute, he said, I'm in. That was 20 years ago. And if you ask Bobo Gilpin, what's the highlight of his week? Oh, it may be winning a big case. But more importantly, it's teaching a four-year-old about Jesus. So maybe you need to plunge into the teaching team. Maybe you need to help in the caring center. We touched 22,000 lives last year as we did tutoring programs. We helped people with addictions. Oh, we changed people's lives as we led them to Christ. Could it be that there is a spot for you on that team? Don't sit back. Jump in. See what God does with you. We have a conversational English program that Susan West manages. Last year, did you know that we had 591 people come to our church from 61 countries to this church? And they came to learn English, and we use it as a platform for sharing Christ. We're about to start it up again, and I would urge you, give it a try. If you can speak English, you can teach English. Take a mission trip. Help in our master's garden over in the Nehemiah Center. Why don't you take on a senior adult? We've got about 70 senior adults, and some of them have no other family members. Some of them feel like they've been warehoused out in a nursing home. And you could be God's sunshine for their day just occasionally by dropping by and saying, how can I pray for you? I care enough about you to drop by. Well, I could go on and on, but please understand that God is calling you to do it. To don't just talk about it, but in the name of Jesus, offer that cup of cold water, coach a kid's baseball team, mow your neighbor's yard, bring some hot cookies to the people down the street that are having problems. In the name of Jesus, become His servant. And I can assure you, if you will do that, God will use it. Well, let's move to the last thought, and that's Albert Schweitzer. Albert Schweitzer said this. This is a picture of one of the great men of the centuries. Do you know his story? He was born in 1875 in France. He was an unusually talented man. Albert Schweitzer was a prodigy in math. So his first PhD was in mathematics. He was also phenomenal in music. He could play any instrument, but particularly this forte was the organ. So he got a second doctorate in music. He decided he was good in science, so he became a medical doctor. His third doctorate was in medicine. And then he began on ministry, and he got a PhD in theology. Do you know where he spent his life? This man who could do anything on anybody's team, anywhere in the world. Do you know what he decided to do? In the name of Jesus, he went to Africa and started a hospital so that he could alleviate suffering in the name of Jesus. And here was the quintessential statement of his life. He said, "My friends, the only ones among us who will be truly happy and satisfied are those who have discovered how to serve in Jesus' name." Now, here is the last point. Move from information to action. Move from information to action. Once I saw a tombstone that read, on the tombstone, "Joe danced under the moon and he slept under the sun. Joe lived a life of going to do and he died with nothing done." I don't want you to be like Joe. I want you to be like Jesus. I want you to discover that treasure, that gift within you, develop it and deploy it for his glory and your joy. Let's pray. Oh, Father.
Thank you for sharing worship with us. We trust God has used this broadcast for your spiritual growth and encouragement. If this ministry has touched your life, please let us know. If you'd like to share in the cost of this broadcast, you may send your gifts and support to First Baptist Church. Your partnership with us will help strengthen and extend this ministry and will be greatly appreciated. And remember, when you are at the crossroads, follow Christ.